All right, we're starting Judges. So right after Joshua, if you turn to Judges. And I'm going to just do a intro of it tonight. It's a very interesting book. It's different, but very much like what we are living through today in a lot of ways. Now, let me read from verse 10 of chapter 2. I'm going to just jump over some. We'll get back to some of the first chapter, but I've referred to some of the first chapter already in dealing with Joshua, the fact that they did not take all the land, and I'll get back to that, but to some degree. But verse 10 of chapter 2 of Judges, let me read some there. Now, I'll set the tone for what Judges is about. Verse 10, Judges 2, all that generation also gathered to their fathers, that is Joshua's generation. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked the Lord to anger. So they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies around them so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had spoken and as the Lord had sworn to them, so that they were severely distressed. Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they played the harlot after other gods, and bowed themselves down to them. They turned aside quickly from the way in which the fathers had walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do as their fathers. When the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed and afflicted them. But it came about when the judge died that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not abandon their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not. So the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, for he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. Let's pray. Lord, it's easy for us to see these people and say, well, what a wicked bunch this was. And yet they were tame compared to what we have today. They at least had the name of God in their minds at times. And our nation very seldom does that. We have people who are Christians in it. But Lord, the nation as a whole, of course, sold themselves to evil. And we know that is the same characteristic we see in Judges. So we pray for mercy upon us, Lord. You're merciful to Israel and raised up judges for them. And I pray, Lord, that we would have mercy from you. Well, you're a merciful God. We thank you for all the mercy that we now enjoy. But Lord, we certainly crave that and need that as a nation. Pray that you guide our thinking in Judges and bless this, I pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. Learning to drive these days is a lot easier than it used to be, because you can put it in drive, and that's great. When I started, just put it in D and down the road. So you have to change gears, because I couldn't change gears at that time. I learned how to do that as fast as I could. But as far as getting a license, getting learning to drive, getting a permit, all of those things, I couldn't do any of that without automatic. So automatic was great. We like to run in automatic outside of, you know, cars. It's nice if, you know, things run around in a way in which we don't have to get our hands dirty all the time. I mean, it's nice to have gas logs. A lot of people like gas logs. You don't have to bring the logs in to burn them. There's gas in the logs, and they burn that way, and you get heat that way. So that's good. We run in automatic. Things happen. My mom had, and my dad had a coffee maker turn on automatically before they got up and make coffee. So automatic, that's great. Well, we have a version of that with representatives. Representatives stand in our place. In the Old Testament, a priest was a representative before God for the people. The priest would represent the people before God, and he would come and offer sacrifices, and he would make atonement for the people, and God would be appeased by that. So the priest was one who stood in our place, because we didn't have the holiness to stand in the presence of God. The priest in ceremonial holiness would stand before God in our place. In theory, our congressman represents us in the government. We choose a congressman, a representative, who says what he believes, and we choose one based upon how close to what he believes is what we believe. So then when he goes to represent us, he's doing what, in theory, we would do. He's representing us, as opposed to the other guy who said he would do everything but what we wanted to do. Well, in theory, because often what happens is they pretty much do what they want to do once they get elected. But in theory, they go and they represent us. A lawyer in a courtroom represents his client, because his client doesn't know the law. His client doesn't have skill with arguing cases. And the lawyer does that and seeks to prevail on behalf of the client. So those are representatives that, in theory, are good representatives. Usually that's the function of them to be that way. There's also people who represent us not directly, but who serve in positions that help us. Rulers, civil servants, you know, even, you know, governors, mayors, president, all these people are in place for our benefit. That's at least the plan God has for government. The police, the fire department, rescue, hospitals, all of these are in positions to help us. You can't doctor. You've got to have a doctor. You can't just be everything. We can't take over the leadership. We can't take over the courts. We can't take over the crime fighting. We can't do everything. It's like the body of Christ is a body comprised of different parts, which we all benefit each other through that. So those are representatives, or people who stand in for us, who work for us, who do a function that is to our benefit. But there's an improper use of representation. And judges begins to get to that. If you use a representative to do what you are supposed to do yourself, that would be improper. Let's say you don't want to exercise, so you hire someone to exercise for you. Well, it would do you no good at all. if you're required by God to do something, you can't be excused from that by a representative. We don't have to be in Washington or Columbia to represent a people or to, you know, be there on our own to say what we want. Others do that. But if God has given us things that we're supposed to do, then nobody can represent us out of that. This unofficial practice, I'll just use the church, for example. People expect someone to represent them before God. I'm not talking about just the Roman Catholic system where you've got a priest or pope and all that. It's not biblical. But where people expect that if they do for you what you don't want to do, that God requires you to do, it's like you've done it. Take a pastor or minister, for example. You hire a pastor, and he's not there to study for you. He's not there to minister instead of you. He's not there to support the body entirely. He's not there to witness in your place. He's not there to pray instead of you praying. But a lot of people view a church official as a representative who does all those things. And if you mention service of people in church, well, you might hear back, well, we hire a pastor for that. Well, that's kind of the mentality that people have today, that you can be represented by an official, a professional, or whatever, and then you don't have to do those things. You don't have to pray. You don't have to witness. You don't have to serve. You don't have to minister. If it's not stated explicitly, it is practiced pretty heavily. And there's no appropriate representation for what we're supposed to do. No one can excuse us from service because we have a representative. There's no representative for what our responsibility is. Now, not everybody's to do the same thing. That's what the body is for. But as far as service, there's no representative that does that instead of us. We have people in place to do things that we don't do. As part of the body of Christ, is our place to do that, but there's still something to do for all the body. So Judges is a good book for understanding why people fall into this bad approach where they want someone to represent them instead of them doing what they're required to do before God. And Judges is, as you see in the Bible, is right after Joshua. It's chronological. It's the period that follows Joshua's death. And the people were given responsibility by Joshua, by Moses before, by God ultimately, to walk with the Lord. Every person was to do that. And Judges 2, in the text that I read tonight, they rebelled against that. It didn't take long. It never takes long. But we saw that, you know, right away, they rebelled against God. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forsook the Lord, verse 12 says, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. It says in verse 11, they followed the Baals. That's why they got the land in the first place. It's because the people of the land of Canaan were following the Baals. So Israel gets in there. They don't take out all the people in the land like they were supposed to. They were lazy and unbelieving. And so now what God got the other people out of the land for in the wars that were fought, they're doing exactly what those people did. So now they're copying what God judged in giving the land to Israel. It's stupid, but it's natural. So they rebelled against the Lord, followed the gods of the nations, and were told, understandably, in verse 14, that the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. We don't think of God that way enough. God loves his children. It'd be wrong for his children to think that they were under the wrath of God, because in Christ we've been forgiven. But the wicked often think that God is not mad at them. The sinners always think God is on their side. No matter what they do, God understands. They do what they know is right before God. They make it up and they say, this is God's will. And so I said it was God's will, so it's God's will. And so whatever I'm doing, God is good with that. I mean, you hear it all the time. People are making up the will of God for whatever they want to do. So it says that the anger of the Lord burned against them. It was raging. It was hot. It was angering. Think of what makes you mad justifiably. There are things that people do that you are justifiably angry about. And you don't have to look very far these days. I don't like to suggest you imbibe of a lot of news, but if you do, you'll get mad. It's just crazy. They're wanting to get rid of of Mount Rushmore now because of, you know, we've got to get rid of all the statues and everything. And it's just as loony as you're going to find. Hopefully it'll pass, but the loonies is always bound up in the heart of people. So it says in Judges 2:15, the Lord was against them at every turn. That's how mad he was. Justifiably so. And they should know better. And they suffered. And they were in pain and distress for years. And two things happened in Judges. The Lord would, in compassion, raise up a deliverer for them, some mighty man, some leader. There's a woman or two in there that would rise up and lead Israel back to the Lord and hold them there until such time that, you know, they passed. At other times, we see that the people would cry out to the Lord. Chapter 3 of Judges, we see that explicitly. They're in misery, just like in Egypt. And they cried out to the Lord for deliverance. They were, you know, brought to that point where they cried out to the Lord. So it was a cycle. They would cry out to the Lord. The Lord would deliver them. The judge would hold them to the Lord until he died. And then they would go back and sin again. And the cycle would be repeated. And it says in Judges that there was no king in the land. So people did whatever they wanted to do, basically, whatever their heart led them to do. And there didn't need to be a king in the land for that to happen. A king would be a representative in that case. It would not be required to bring people to the Lord. The judges really were not the ones who were most responsible to bring the people to the Lord. But when the people sinned, there were repercussions, consequences for their rebellion. And whenever the Lord relieved them of that, it was when they, in general, cried out to the Lord to be delivered. And then the Lord would send a judge, a military guy, who would beat the oppressor, and then the people would be free. The people would stay in that state for the life of the judge. And once the judge died, they were doomed to repeat the cycle. They never got out of it. They never got off the treadmill. They traded freedom from oppression for the pleasures of sin for a season. They went right back to it because it's like a reset. Once they were delivered, they got another chance at it. A lot of people use the Catholic Mass that way. They get forgiven, they think, by the Mass. So they got a week of living it up, and then they're back to the Mass. Judges is a bit like that. What should have happened? What should have happened in Israel when they sinned and there was oppression from an enemy, and then they were miserable, and then God sent a judge, and the judge delivered them, and then they got on the other side of it, and the judge died? What should have happened? They should have gotten the message. We can't sin and prosper. We can't prosper in rebellion. We need to follow the Lord. But that's a regenerate characteristic, and the people weren't. It's very easy if you're not regenerate. You've got to be propped up. If you're unregenerate, you always have to be propped up to do good. You have no driving force. It's why it's scary in churches who are supposed to be saved people when you don't serve the Lord unless you're propped up. You have to be propped up all the time. So they're supposed to get the message, repent of their sin, follow the Lord, and hold on to Him, and get off the roller coaster. That would be the most logical, healthy thing for the entire nation. How many sinners do that? Just exactly what we expect happens is once you're clear of the danger, once you're freed, then you go right back to it. What did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh was a Gentile. He's exactly the same way as these people. Once Moses removed the plague, Pharaoh went right back to opposing them leaving. It's just a cycle of natural, can't do what's right, easily swayed to evil, don't do the right thing. Sinners do that. How many nations turn? None. It doesn't happen. Very seldom. Individuals can change only by salvation, then they hold to the Lord. Samuel, looking ahead now, and again, this is his introduction, I'm going to kind of a panorama. Samuel was the last judge. Samuel's got, you know, when you get to 1 Samuel, we get to Samuel. And Samuel's the last judge. And Samuel, when he was the judge, he had sons that did not follow his way. They were rebellious. They took bribes. They were evil. So Samuel was the judge, but the people wanted out of that setup. And what I think happened is this. The people wanted to be on automatic. They wanted to put their car in drive and not have to worry about working the gears, not to worry about steering. Somebody else drive, somebody else steer. You do that in automatic. Let us live our lives and not have to keep seeking the Lord when we sin and fall into oppression. We want to be able to sin and have someone who is on call all the time to get us out of it without having to seek the Lord and without having to go through all those years of consequence. I think that's exactly what happened. When Samuel was old, we're told his sons did not walk in his ways. They were evil. It says in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 8 that his sons turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel came and they wanted a king. And that sounds innocent enough. And the reason they asked, it seems like, is, oh, we just so much want a judge. But your sons don't walk in your ways. We want somebody who's going to walk in your ways. And we could follow that. Because, you know, again, they want somebody to represent them and not be righteous in themselves. So they're saying, oh, you know, we want somebody righteous, but, you know, your sons aren't it. So Give us a king. But I think we're on to that. Because they wanted to be able to rebel. And I think this is borne out by the reaction of the Lord and the people's continued persistence to have a king. They asked for a king. And we're told in 1 Samuel 8 that what they sought displeased the Lord. What do you do, men? I was talking to you, men. If you say, well, let's go to this restaurant, and your wife said, that idea greatly displeases me. That mightily displeases me. Do you say, well, I'm going to go there anyway? Well, no, you don't. Because sometime after that, you have to go to sleep, and you might get conked on the head. And it sounds like you got it coming. If you hear that someone you love is not desirous of that, well, then you don't do it. What did they do? They persisted. It displeased the Lord. They persisted. Samuel gave them a good dressing down. They persisted. Why? It's not really about wanting the Lord. It's not really about wanting to be righteous. It's not really about wanting to have a better society. It was about to be able to do the things that they do and not have to fall into the consequences and have to seek the Lord and wait years for the Lord to send a deliverer and then have it temporary. Have a judge there, always there, on call. There's nothing wrong with a king. A king can fill a place and lead the people in God's will. And you see in the New Old Testament that a righteous king would make for a righteous nation, generally, and a wicked king for a wicked nation. But the responsibility is not the king's for each individual person. Just like a parent is to bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is the job. They do that best they can, a godly parent, best they can, and they turn them loose. And the child has got to do on their own, sink or swim. And if a child does not do that, they can't look back at the parents and say, why aren't you keeping me on the right track? That was their job before. Now it's on you. And the parents are not responsible at a point. They get married, move off, move out, get their job, they grow up, they become adults. You gotta do what your responsibility is. The people, you never saw when Joshua and Moses were leaving instructions for the people where they told them to, you know, just go into neutral and let the leaders drive the place. Everybody was commanded to seek the Lord. That's the job of every person. So they did. They didn't learn any of that. And they adapted. Rather than learning, they adapted to enable sin to thrive. It's exactly what's happened in our society. The Bible says that certain things that our society approves of is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Same-sex marriage is wrong. All this transgenderism stuff is wrong. And all the stuff about those kinds of things, the Bible is very much against. So the Lord is displeased. So what does society do? Well, society makes it more acceptable, enables it, encourages it. They don't repent of what the Bible calls a sin, but they actually make people who call it a sin to be seen as criminal and hateful, including, I guess, God. Because God is the one who lays out the moral law on this. So rather than change, they adapt. They change society. They make it more corrupt. They make it more evil. And then they feel like that is now what is right. Even with the Lord's great displeasure, to choose someone besides him. You know what he said on that occasion? You remember if you've read that. Is that the Lord told Samuel, they're not rejecting you, the judge. They're rejecting me, the Lord God. That's what they were doing. They did not want to walk in the ways of the Lord. They did not want to reap the consequences when they did not walk in the ways of the Lord. So they wanted a king who would shelter them from the consequences of rebellion. He'd be on call all the time, go fight the battles. Samuel told them he would even charge taxes on them and take away their children as servants. They didn't care. As long as they could have their sin and have their way and not be judged by it on this earth, they were fine. Sounds too much like our world today. So Judges is a case study, really, in the irrepressible sinfulness of the human race. There are people who believe that humans are at least either basically good, that they're born good and learn bad, that they're mostly good with some bad spots, or that they have some nugget of goodness there. And the Bible says that there is none righteous, not even one. Everybody is a sinner. And Judges shows us the depths of sin, like we've seen in other places in Israel. They wanted some external means for controlling their behavior. They can't help themselves. They want someone to help them not have to pay the consequences. Make sure that if I drink too much, I don't drive. Take my keys. If I'm making a fool of myself, take my keys. They want to control the consequences. They want someone outside they can blame if they get out of hand. Why didn't you stop me? And they wanted others to do the work they were responsible to do. It's just a scary thought that so many people believe that somebody can do before God what they're supposed to do. That professionals can do it. It's so unbiblical. And they wanted to live their lives with God on automatic. They wanted to put it in drive, live their lives, do what they wanted, have no consequences, no oppression, no pain, no discomfort, no self-destruction, no collateral damage from seeking sin. It's impossible. What's a king for? To make their consequences go away. Well, what, you don't have to seek the Lord anymore? No, we don't have to seek the Lord because that won't last. And it takes too long. And then he tells us to stop doing what we want to do. We want someone who's going to help us get through that. There's a lot of candidates who are running today for president or whatever. And they're basically, their campaign is, you elect me and I'll help you stay evil like you want to be. I'll affirm that we'll get rid of all these statues. I'll affirm that there are 18 genders or 1800 genders or whatever. I'll do whatever it is you want. You elect me and I'll make sure that anybody's attempt to stop us from being evil, that I'll stand in the way of that. This is essentially what they're doing. You want to stop abortion? There's a candidate out there who's going to say, if you elect me, I promise to let people keep killing their babies. Because that's what people want. They want to be shielded from the consequence of that. They want to be enabled to do that and still maintain a walk in life and in society and not be judged by God, not be oppressed by the enemy, not be oppressed by people who want them to be better. This is Judges. Judges is an interesting book. I've painted it, in the negative part of it, but there's a lot in the Judges. When the Judges rise up, these are brave people who stand for the Lord and are instrumental in bringing the people back to a place free of oppression. And it's a pretty thing to see. And it shows what can happen if a society will be repentant and follow the Lord. But unfortunately, Judges is cyclical. It's a cycle of doom. people who do not make a decision. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve." Well, they don't ever do that. They choose the Lord when they're in trouble. And then when they're out of trouble, they choose sin. They go with the breeze. When they have opportunity to sin, they sin. When they have opportunity to get out of the consequences, well, they seek for a judge. They seek for some deliverer. Then they go right back to it because it's about them. It's about being evil. It's not about doing their job. It's not about making a solid society. It's about letting someone else do the work of God for them. Let somebody else come in and stop this evil. Let someone else come in and stop the oppression. We're not going to do it. We'd have to change. We'd have to repent of our sin. They can't do it. What you'll always see, almost without exception, is when somebody does something sinful and stupid, they'll come out shortly after and say they would not have changed one thing in what they did. They have no regrets. They would not have changed one thing in the way they approached it. That is pride. That is the spirit of judges, where people want to do what they do and get away from the consequences. You'll hear it all the time. Someone will say, I did exactly what I did. It was dumb, but I do it again just the same way. I saw this week, I was reading about, I'll remember it, some science thing that we're going through. We'll go on. It was science about, you know, the changes that they're saying is coming. I saw something called the Streisand effect. The Streisand effect apparently is a word that was coined for Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand has a house on the coast, California. They went through California and photographed all the houses on the coast to measure beach erosion, to see what could be done for that. And they posted the pictures on some science site, and Barbara Streisand complained that her privacy was being invaded by posting that picture online. At the time she complained, 6 people had looked at the picture. You can tell on the internet how many people go to a place, and 6 times someone looked at the picture, and 2 of them were her lawyers. So 2 of her lawyers and 4 other people had looked at that picture. She complained. And in a few days, I think 480,000 people had looked at the picture. So in order for her to get privacy, she complained and gave it over to, you know, she overreacted, really. And boom, there it goes. Blows up. This is always what happens when people seek to essentially escape the consequences. Claim that something should be changed, and something should be stopped when it shouldn't be. You shouldn't even, you know, make a deal of it, like today with all these crazy things and protests going on. Judges is a study in human sinfulness, and God's mercy in saving people through these judges. That's an interesting book. Let's pray. Lord, it is unfortunately all too true that our sinfulness is without repentance and without any desire to be made better. Lord, I believe if people were to come out and say something had been found to stop sinfulness, that people would rebel against that and not take it and not think it should be even made, because they would not want to stop. And Judges is a testament to that over and over to be delivered, over and over to return to sin. Lord, pray we would get the proper fear of you. We know that this is a book that shows natural man in his true habitat. Lord, may we as your people live in the new way in which you have made us by changing our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me a moment.